I am tired. Are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
What's up?
That intro is way too long. Way too long. We need to shorten it.
You want me to write something for us?
Yeah, you should. You should play the guitar and like Bobby Watt style. How about that? Right. Can you do it?
Yeah, give me 2 weeks. I'll lay something down for us.
You didn't even play in my house the other day. No way.
I didn't have nearly enough alcohol to play in front of people. I am what you call a solo artist. And by solo artist, I mean only myself.
Yeah, no shit.
It's all good.
Well, welcome everyone. This is our number two podcast.
Yes, number two.
And we're on time for a release on what, Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Perfect.
Upwards. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our trip.
Yes.
What do you think of our trip, Kyle?
We had a very interesting trip, didn't we? We drove to Miami and we flew to Milan and then we drove to Bologna.
Very long. We had to drive to Miami 5 hours, then we had to wait because the flight was delayed. And in the meantime, we were having some adult beverages and dinner. And then we went to the gate, and then the plane was delayed, so we wanted to have more adult beverages. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to the gate, and the flight was delayed even further. So then we wanted to spend some money, bought some sunglasses, and we went back to the gate, and it was delayed more. So we wanted to sit down and have more adult beverages.
You missed the point, though. No, we didn't just buy sunglasses. We collectively spent like $1,000 on sunglasses.
And beverages.
And beverages and dinner. Like, we were there for 3 hours and spent a grand.
And a drink was like $20 in the stupid Miami airport. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Then we flew for 10 hours to Milan, and then we landed really tired, and we drove another 4 hours to the factory.
Yeah. You drove, thankfully. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and for the people that don't know, the factory is a little bit east of Bologna. It's in between the city of Bologna and the city of Rimini. Mm-hmm. It's almost by the coast. It's like 30 minutes from the ocean, so it's a really nice place, a very small town. Beautiful building, huh?
It's huge. Absolutely huge. They just built this, what was it, end of last year they finished it or something?
I think they finished it in October, and like I think I said something in the last podcast that like they were saying that they were going to do this welcome sort of like opening party then, but I guess it got delayed a little bit, so then the weather was crap, and they wanted good weather to do the party or something, so that's why they delayed it till like now.
But. Yeah, but the factory is ridiculous. They got offices and a prototype room so that Enrico can build all the new goblins and a place to build blades and the Moses hydrofoil and the airplanes. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they got a field behind the factory, so you can do easy testing.
Yeah, they got a field right behind the factory.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Yeah, that place is sweet.
Yeah, I think I was impressed because they went overboard with, like, you know, the whole paint, the theme of the building, and you know, it's just nice. It's really nice, all brand new. Like, it's really, really cool. So I honestly had a great time. I think it was an awesome trip. But
incredible.
I wish it would have been at least a day longer, because it was just too much traveling for how short of a period we were there. We should have been there at least another day.
I feel like we traveled 24 hours to be there for 48.
We traveled exactly 48 hours to be there for like 72. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Out of control. But no, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. The party was huge. There's a lot of people there. There's probably, what, 200 people?
300.
300 people.
300 plus. 300 plus.
They unveiled some new stuff and everyone hung out and we drank a bunch of beer. I remember walking in and they had like 15 kegs of beer and I'm like, oh boy, it's on.
So let's recap. So we get there Friday. By now, it's you know, we've been traveling literally for 24 hours. We left home at like 10:30, 11 in the morning, and we got there at like 4:30 on Friday, which was still 10:30 Florida time.
Correct.
So it took 24 hours. So we got to the factory, and we just said hello and hang out and really didn't do anything on Friday. It was just a day to just kind of like...
We did some wrenching, but hung out and just...
Hung out and, like, we went and had some good Italian pizza and, like, hung out with everybody there.
Yep.
Then Saturday, we got up relatively early to go back to the factory to test stuff to be able to fly because they wanted demos during the party.
That's right.
And I must confess, I feel bad because I should have flown, but I didn't.
Why not?
Because I started having fun too early.
And
it would have been very irresponsible for me to fly my brand new, quote-unquote, 770.
Correct.
The biggest helicopter you can own.
All right.
Right in front of 300 people after having some American...
Some special American water. Yeah, some special water. No, I get you. But there was a few
Canadian crown.
But I flew, and Duncan flew, and Tarek Alsadi flew, and Tal Roglet. So there was a bunch of demos going, but it was a lot of fun. Flew to music. There was a scale demo.
Enyo Grabber flew F3C demo. Yeah, Gabuti did the whole smoke thing.
You did your
3D thing. Tarek did his thing.
Tarek. Dude. What's up with his head speed?
Let's talk about Tarek later, because I feel like Tarek deserves a few minutes
segment.
Of our... Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. But the party was awesome. Like, So Friday morning, we get to the factory. Kyle, thank you for building a helicopter that never got flown that day.
You're welcome.
At least it was ready for the next day for the fun fly.
Yep.
And put together the 770. Unfortunately, we had an ESC that didn't have a BEC.
Correct.
So we had to have this contraption of a battery sticking, you know, hanging off the one of the side frames, which I'm not a big fan of. But you know, it worked.
Yeah, it worked kind of.
First impressions on the 770 for me is really cool. Like, I was expecting that I could move it through the air faster. I just kind of forgot what it feels like. But as far as, like, the floaty feel of it, like, overall, like, feel of the helicopter is just awesome. It flies really well.
I feel like if we went up in a pulley, we could probably get it to move the way you want it to. But it almost, like, takes away from the machine, because the machine's more of, like, a floaty, slower...
Yeah, it's a slower...
More tame machine overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we could get it to be a monster, but I kind of like it more relaxed.
And we'll get to that part later, but, like, Sunday at the event, I wasn't feeling very well. So in the afternoon is when I actually, late afternoon is when I actually enjoyed myself, and I got 3 or 4 flights on that machine very late. Almost everybody was gone, but I flew it at low speed too, and I must admit, I was very impressed with how it feels at low speeds, because normally, like, you fly 700 low speed, and it's not made for that.
It just really feels heavy.
Yeah. This thing felt good, and the tail felt awesome, like at low speed. Like, I felt like the tail was just there, you know?
What head speed were you flying?
At low speed, I never checked, but if I could guess, it wasn't like low, like 800, but if I could guess, it was probably about 13.
It sounded lower.
Yeah. 12, 13. And the high head speed was, according to the V control, was 1980 or 1950, something like that.
Almost 2000.
Yeah. For the high. So
we never checked the pitch, cause no need, but
there was no time, dude. It was just, everything happened so fast. So, and I wish I could have brought the machine with me, but there's just no way. There was no room.
It'll be here soon.
It was supposed to ship. It should be here by the end of the week. So by the time people start listening to podcast, it should be arriving hopefully by Friday, I think. So
we'll do more videos once it arrives and get a proper BEC in there.
Set it up with the Hobby Wing 4.1.
Yeah, the 200 4.1. Yeah. Yep, throw that in there. Get rid of the receiver pack and then crank it.
So anyway, the party. So the party was set up in a way to where they basically move half the production side of the factory to one side, and they open like a huge room for the guests. So they had three corners, I guess you could say. One corner for Goblin, one corner for Moses, which is, for the people that are not familiar with SAB, is their hydrofoil, which have been producing for, what, a couple of years now? Something like that?
It's like a surfboard, but it's got a kite on it to pull you around.
Yeah. And it goes over, like, it's not on the water. Like,
right.
It's
got a stabilizer that goes in the water, and that's kind of what guides you and all that. Anyway.
Yeah. And then they had another corner for the new airplane division of SAB called Antarctica.
Antarctica.
So when the guests started to arrive, I think it was kind of cool. They had live music. Mm-hmm. It was funny, man. Like, like these Italian dudes, they were really good. They were really good. I mean, I have nothing bad to say. Like the guitarist was awesome. The keyboard guy was great.
Yeah.
The drummer was like an old dude and he was killing it. They were good. Yeah. But the accent.
It was hearing them play like Knocking on Heaven's Door in an Italian accent was awesome.
So they had live music. They had lots of beer. Lots of beer. They had typical Italian food. There's this thing called piatta, which is like a sandwich made with like a special kind of bread. It's a
thin little bread.
Yeah, it's from the northern part of Italy. I don't think they ate that in the south, but it was good. And then they had ice cream. It was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So I think at 5, right? Was it at 5 o'clock?
Around about 5. They started into the presentations.
The mayor of the city of San Mauro Pascoli, which is a city where SAB has showed up.
Yep.
She was a nice lady. She showed up, and then they did the official sort of, I guess it's called an official opening, where, you know, they cut the ribbon, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we moved inside, and then they started showing all the stuff, the new stuff. So that's when they announced the new concept.
The concept.
Beautiful Italian concept.
Number one was the Goblin Kraken.
The Kraken.
The revolution continues. The Goblin Revolution. The Goblin Kraken.
So what do you think of the Kraken? I'm sure a lot of people have questions, lots of questions about the Kraken, what the Kraken's all about.
I think it's pretty cool. Enrico took a lot of the stuff that we had been talking about for the past couple of years and kind of put it into this machine. So I've been talking with him about it for the past couple months, and it's cool to see it, you know, in the flesh now. But you know, he changed some stuff with the servos. It's got new servo geometry. It's got a new gear train. Are we allowed to talk about the gear train? It's public, right?
I mean, he's made a comp. I mean, it's I recorded the audio for the video. I guess all we can say is it's inside an oil. It's enclosed in an oil bath.
Correct. It's all the main transmissions enclosed in an oil bath, kind of like a transmission sort of deal. So, metal gears.
All metal gears in an oil bath, and it's supposed to be something that is we don't know yet. Like we can't really say anything at this point with 100% certainty.
Right.
But it's supposed to be something that is unbreakable.
Correct.
And I'm sure we'll find somebody. Like Gator.
Who's going to drive it in without throttle hold.
That can break it, yeah.
Right.
But it's supposed to be unbreakable, and it's supposed to be just like a turnkey gearbox that you just put on the helicopter and off you go, right?
Yeah. You build it once, you fill it up with oil, and basically never look at it again. Maybe periodically check the oil, make sure it's still full and clean and all that. But it's cool. I mean, he's changed a lot of stuff. It's got a new tail rotor now.
Yeah, it's got a new tail rotor with a 8mm shaft.
It's an interesting tail.
8mm, right? I think it's 8.
I might be wrong. And then the inside is 4. Because it's 2 shafts, theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who have not, it's kind of hard to explain, but
yeah,
I don't know. Just check out the pictures. I don't really want to butcher how to explain it, but there's the tail slider's on the other side now.
Yeah, the tail pitch slider is on the opposite side, so it's sticking out of the left side of the helicopter. And the shaft is bigger, which allows them to use a bigger bearing, which reduces vibrations. Like, it's not like we have a vibration problem right now, but you could get away with a lot before you see a problem with vibration.
Enrico kind of told me it's the high RPM setup. So for speed, or if you run 2800 RPM or over speed, it's just going to be smoother in everything you do now. It's a high RPM, smoother, more stable tail now.
Well, you know that back in the day, I know that some models, like I'm talking decade plus ago, some models like JR Vive way, way back in the day had issues with the tail and tail vibrations. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with the length of the tail shaft, the output shaft, sticking out too far out of the tail box.
It was flexing.
Not necessarily flexing, but creating some harmonics because of the length. So this shaft, it's not like Goblin has an issue with that, but this shaft is even shorter now.
Right.
Really, really short, because it doesn't need the room for the slider, because the slider is on the other side.
Right.
So the part of the shaft that sticks out of the bearing is really short.
Yeah.
So you can get away with like incredible head speeds with no vibration. So.
Yeah. Yeah, even at overspeeds, it's going to be silent. So the new tail's cool. Yeah. It's got a new rotor head.
New rotor head with like adjustable dampening.
Yeah, it's got some different dampeners set up. Another thing that I like is if you've ever crashed a Goblin, the blade grip arms, they tend to bend. And you have to pull the spindle out, pull the grips off, and then you can pull the arms off. But now the arms bolt on from the outside. So if you ever crash, it's just one bolt. The arm comes off, put a new one on, put a bolt on, done.
Mm-hmm.
It could not be easier. So
different boom attachment system, I think.
Yeah, I don't really want to go into it because I don't know how concrete it is, but it is different.
Four bolts, I heard. That's it.
It's stronger. Yeah, it's more reliable from what I've seen.
Easier to remove when you're traveling and stuff like that, I heard.
From what I understand, it's still a nylon bolt system, but the nylon bolt part always stays in, and there's another part that detaches for travel.
Yeah. So now, with that, all that being said, as much as I think it's an awesome machine, I know a lot of people have questions. Like, as soon as I got back home, I looked at Facebook and I had a lot, like a flood of messages of people wondering. So, number one, we don't know the release date. So, please don't ask because we don't really know it. And we don't want to be difficult. We just don't really know it. So, as soon as we know it, we'll let you know.
Yep. It'll be blasted all over Facebook.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be like very, very soon. I think it'll be a few months before it's released.
Fair.
Price-wise, I don't think it'll be a cheap helicopter. It's going to be an expensive machine. It's got a lot of technology and a lot of cool new features. It's not going to retail for like $700. No way.
No chance of that.
So our good old trusty Thunder Sport is the only way to go right now. Yeah. That's the only way to go.
Yeah. That's and what you and I still fly.
Yeah, and I think, and you and I will probably still be flying it for a while. Well. And I think this will be, like, with all that said, I think the Thunder Sport will still have its place. Because this is really not, I don't think this is kind of meant to be a replacement for the Thunder Sport. Like, I don't think SAB is even planning on, like, replacing their line with the Kraken.
Right.
The Kraken is, like, the next step forward, you know, innovation and everything else.
Right.
But before the Kraken can get to be what the Thunder Sport is today, it's going to be another 5 years. Like, it's not, you know, what I'm trying to say with this is, like, if you have plans to buy a helicopter, whether it is a Goblin or a T-Rex or a Synergy or whatever you want to buy, don't, like, hold off because you're waiting for the Kraken.
Right.
That would make no sense. Don't you agree, Kyle?
Well, like, another point
it's a concept right now.
Right. And nothing's going away. As soon as the Kraken comes out, the Thunder Sport's still going to be available. All the Black Thunder, all that is still going to be there. They're not discontinuing something for something else.
No, and part support will be there. Like, nothing, like you said, nothing's going to change.
I mean, you and I saw this today. We're still selling parts from the original Goblin from, 2012?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you have now is still going to be here. Don't worry about anything being discontinued or forgotten or anything.
No way.
This is just the next step, the next revolution, the next part of the whole SAB story. So, it's just the next step forward.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, after they revealed the Kraken, we moved on to Moses. They talked a little bit about the hydrofoil and their achievements with it. And, you know, SAB... You know, congrats to SAB. They're doing really good with that. That's a great market. You know, has nothing to do with us, you know, heli guys. But
I know nothing about it, but I've read online that thing is awesome.
Like, I wish I was killer. Like, you know, 45 pounds lighter and 20 years younger. I would love to try that thing.
You and I are not exactly aerodynamic.
No, not at all.
No, but I've heard that thing is sweet. So good for them for nailing it on that.
Yeah. And then, so then after that, we moved on to the Antarctica.
What is that? Antarctica. What is that?
Year zero. Total destruction. I remember recording that. That was painful. That was painful.
The protectorates.
The protectorate. Do you know what a protectorate was? Yeah. I went to college in this country and I didn't even know what protectorate was.
I didn't go to college in this country and I still don't know what it is.
But I told so they sent me this several weeks ago. They had this concept. I think it's a cool idea, right? So
I get it. I understand it now.
I feel like I have to explain this, don't you think? Because like people are probably going like, what the hell is that? Like, so the whole idea is like SAB always tries to come up with innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they designed the Goblin, it was like different. Like nobody had seen a carbon boom that was the size of the Goblin boom, that was actually an integral part of the helicopter. Like, people later started to copy it in the form of like shells that went over the pot, the actual traditional round boom. But SAB, nobody has done what SAB did with the Goblin. Like, it was just different. It was just outside the box.
Yeah.
So Goblin, of course, is a mystical creature, right? And then they released the Uruk-hai, which is based on a famous movie. I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to violate any copyrights or anything like that. We're not authorized to name movies, but Uruk-hai, you know, they're all mystical creatures. So now Kraken is also a mystical creature from a totally different story.
Another movie, yeah.
Yeah. So they wanted something unique because everybody's making jets, right? They make the F-16 the replica or the F-18 or the whatever, a sport jet.
Yeah, it's overdone.
It's the same thing. Everybody makes it. Like so Stefano, I have to give him props because a lot of people would think that he's kind of crazy, but he is a little bit.
He's over the edge.
In a good kind of way. But he wanted to develop a story to then start making these airplanes that kind of made sense within the story. So the story is about, you know, and the story is politically correct too. There's nothing wrong with the story. There's not like US versus this other country. Like, it's just, it's very politically correct.
Right.
You know, the world basically ends due to a nuclear war that started by some cyber terrorists. And then, like, we go through many centuries of darkness, and the only people that survive end up being in the Antarctic continent. And then, like, the city of Antarctica is, like, the main, you know, government place. And then there's all these other places that are dependent on the main state. And they eventually rebel against, or, you know, they stand up against their controlling, you know, city.
Sure. Yep.
And so all these airplanes, like the Drake and the Tortuga, like, they're all based around this whole story. And I think it was kind of cool. Like, it's a little bit over the top because when I got the original Italian translation into English, it had to be revised a little bit. And I could have done better with the translation. After I did it and I recorded it, I was like, I could have changed some words like here and there to make it a little even a little better. But I think it works. The concept works.
So. When you first got that and I read it, I was like, what? I had no idea what was going on whatsoever because I didn't know what the story meant.
But, you know, now, like, everything makes sense within the story.
Correct.
So, like, the Drobodrone is an airplane that doesn't have, like, a cockpit, right? Because it's a drone, so it doesn't have a pilot. So it has less detail.
Right.
No cockpit, a lot less detail.
True.
So it's less expensive to make. Everything within the story makes sense. There's a good guy and the bad guy. People always like good and bad, right?
Right.
And then there's an airplane that represents the good guys, an airplane that represents the bad guy. Like, everything within the story makes sense.
And on top of that, the planes look freaking sweet.
Yeah, the planes are awesome.
They are beautiful.
I don't know how I'm going to afford a turbine, but I have to have one.
Yeah, credit card, baby. Pull it off. You and I are both going to own a couple, and we're going to crash them at some point. But, man, I can't wait to get my hands on one.
Florida Jets 2019 will be there.
Yeah, killing it. No, they look great. Stefano and, I believe, Mattia at SAB did a great job designing them. They look gorgeous. So
and Massimo works on composites too.
That's right.
So at the factory. So he's also an important role in there. Yep. But there's three models to start out with, I believe.
I don't remember the names. I know there's Tortuga, Drake, and then
I recorded the thing and I can't even remember.
you blocked it out of your memory.
Robodrone, Tortuga.
Drake.
And then multi-bomber, whatever. I can't.
Regardless, they look sweet. So if you haven't seen them, go check them out. They look cool.
Yeah, we'll release some specs very soon at the SABUSA.com website or our Facebook pages for people that want to know more about wingspan and length and weight and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think most of them so far are going to be turbine powered, but I think they're going to have options for ducted fan as well.
Well, the Tortuga is a little tiny thing. I think the wingspan's like, what, 30 inches on it?
Yeah, Tortuga is really small.
Yeah, you can get a little turbine for it or it can be ducted fan. So I'll probably do ducted fan on mine just to keep it cheap and simple.
No, you have to do a turbine.
Dude, we saw the Tortuga fly on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That thing had to been doing 200 miles an hour.
So, yeah. So Sunday. Okay, so enough for the party, right?
Right.
So I feel like we kind of covered the party. A lot of good old friends from back in the day and from like recent, you know, from the whole history of our hobby.
Yep.
More than anything from Europe, but you know, there were so many people there, it's hard to mention them all. But
yeah.
Simone Zunter was there, yep. And like Sebastiano Gabuti was there, of course. Mm-hmm. A lot of the SAB team, like Philip Mann and like Duncan Bussion and his brother Jonathan, and like
Joaquin
from Ex Nova and Jin from Ex Nova, like basically the owner came from China.
Yep.
And who else was there? Like Tal and Guy Rocklet from Israel.
Yeah.
Like
Jens from World of Heli.
Jens from World of Heli.
And his crew.
And his whole crew, pretty much.
Yeah.
And Mario, like there was a lot. There were a lot of people there. Like it was really cool. And there were also people we didn't even know, like or didn't even remember, like that knew who we were, but like we didn't really know them.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was a great time. The party was awesome.
Yeah.
Started formally at 3 o'clock, and I think we made it to the hotel at midnight.
Something like that. I think we made a pit stop to get some more piñata.
We went to the hotel and then we walked next door.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
You forgot that?
Mm.
Yeah. It's a little blurry. Yeah. It is a little bit blurry for me. But anyway, Sunday, we got up in the morning and we were supposed to go to an event in the city of Fano. F-A-N-O. Fano.
Fano. Very nice.
Very nice club. Super cool club, beautiful facilities. They had fuel for helicopters on the right side, and then the main line for the airplanes was on the left, and they were flying jets and doing demos on the airplane side all day, and we were just having fun on the helicopter side.
Yeah,
you got to do a demo on the airplane side.
I did. I did a quick music flight for the guys over there. Myself, Tarek, Tal Roglet, and Carlos from Spain.
Yeah, and Sebastiano did and Sebastiano, the flight with smoke. Yeah.
And Jonathan Bossian was there with his own jet. He had a vectoring thrust, some sort of jet thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing flat spins and flips, and he was hovering too. Yeah, he was hovering it. Yeah,
yeah, he was hovering it. Yeah,
he's a really good jet pilot. So
yeah.
Duncan was there flying, and you know, it was a good time.
So going back to the Tortuga, that's when we saw the Tortuga fly.
Correct.
And it was launched, and it had a tiny, tiny turbine. I think a turbine has like 10 kilos of thrust. I don't remember. But man, that thing is in the big scheme of things, it's not that fast, right? Because it's small.
Right.
But it's so small that it looks like it's 200 plus kilometers per hour. So 250 kilometers per hour. So it's like 100 and what is that? 160. I can't do the math in my head right now, but maybe 180 miles per hour.
It's fast.
Which for a tiny, tiny like plane is like incredibly fast.
I mean, we're talking what, 30 inch wingspan, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's even less. It's like really small.
Yeah, it is just absolutely tiny. But that thing was moving. But yeah, it launched. It did not take off. It launched.
It launched.
He had this little
which
stand.
I have a problem with. I like to have landing gear. Yeah, I need landing gear.
Dude,
landing
this
gear.
Thing launched at 200 miles an hour. It was on this little stand at like a 45 degree angle. He kicked this thing and whoosh, just his rope ripped it into the air.
Yeah, it was cool. I definitely have to have one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where the hell I'm going to fly it at torches.
No, backyard and just straight up.
Yeah, okay, sure. It'll reach the city of Mount Dora within like 30 seconds. But, okay, so Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about Sunday. Sunday was interesting.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about Tarek.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Tarek. So what do you think about Tarek? He's changed his style, hasn't he?
Well, first and foremost, him personally, he's one of the absolute nicest, most humble, down-to-earth people I've ever met.
Oh, he's awesome. He's always, like, he's a great friend. He's like,
happy.
A super nice guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. You can just go up and talk to him about anything. You know, with someone who has 43,000 Facebook followers, doesn't go to his head, he's a super nice guy. You can just go up and talk to him, have a conversation. He's awesome. But
he is.
His flying, oh, my God. He's a good pilot. Don't get me wrong.
It's changed.
Yeah.
It's changed.
It's changed. You know, from the videos we saw back over the years, it was very smack and right on the deck and all that. But he changed his head speed. It went from about 2,000 to about 3,000.
It went from like 2,200 to 2,800.
Roughly. The best way to describe it is when Bert does an overspeed, it's that, but for 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one constant overspeed. It never slows down, and it never speeds up, because it can't, because it's running at full speed.
And he's doing a lot of... He was always quick with the way he did his transitions, but now I feel like he's faster.
Yeah.
He's quicker
with
the transitions.
I mean, it was hands down the fastest Goblin 700 I have ever seen. And the videos just don't do it justice, because I watched the video I took, and it looks lame. But in person...
No, the video... No, that's the thing. Yeah. The videos suck.
Yeah, it like, is nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
In person and standing within a couple feet of him, it is ridiculous. It's
scary. So I posted a video, if you guys haven't checked it out, facebook.com/birdrc. Mm-hmm. Scroll down. It's like, I don't know, by now it might be 10, 15 posts down, but I think it's titled, like, I Caught Turek's Flight or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We were at the factory during the party, and, like, I saw him flying. I was, like, I was running out there to try to get the video. So, and I got a little piece of the video. It's probably only a couple minutes long, but... Mm-hmm. Again, the video does not do it justice, because right. In person is like scary.
It's just pure energy.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Outstanding pilot. First person I've ever seen desolder a 7mm bullet in flight.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much power he's pulling right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So watching him is just something you have to see in person.
Are you going
to
set some up with that kind of high head speed?
Yep, I already ordered the parts.
No, you're so full of it.
No, I swear.
Why? Why?
Because I just want to see if I can make it explode. No. But I'm going to try it.
Your flying style is not going to work with that head speed. I already told you that.
It'll be all right. Just do a hurricane at 2,800 RPM.
You pull too much pitch for that head speed. You need to, like, change your style.
No.
Make it more, like, Turek-like style.
We both know I can do Turek.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kind of. But anyway, so Turek, we have to bring Turek to the podcast.
I would love to.
He said he would.
He did?
He said, yeah, he said he would.
Yeah, we just got to get him on.
We have a gold microphone for him.
Look at that. We do have a gold microphone. No, beautiful. He said he'd come on.
Yeah, so we'll bring him. I know a lot of people in the U.S. have questions for him. And, you know, unfortunately, he's not been able to make the trip to America before. Right. So I know a lot of people kind of, like, look up to him and, like, you know, they think he's cool and they want to see him fly up close and personal. So maybe one day he'll come down, we'll hang out, and, like, he'll get to meet some people, and some people will get to meet him here in the U.S., you know?
It'd be cool.
So
he's a really good guy, so I'd love to have him over here
for
an event or something. But
so, cool. So what else happened Sunday? Is that about it?
Duncan flew. He did some cool demo flights. Tal Rogla flew. That kid is... I think he's almost 16 now and getting better every time I see him. Very technical pilot. Bert Kammerer flew.
No, I was shaking my ass off. It was bad. I'd never shaken like that.
Why?
Were you nervous? I don't know. I didn't feel good. No, I had one too many adult beverages the night before, so I wasn't feeling very good.
Naughty boy.
And I'm old.
Old. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, you're not, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
What are you, 33 this year?
Yeah. 34.
There you go.
But no, Sunday was good. It was a good time. It was a good day. It was hot, but it was a good day. It was a good day.
We had fun.
So, what else happened? Is that it? Sunday? There's so much that happened, but
we just got a bunch of flights in, hung out, drove back to Bologna, and had a quick bite to eat, and then we drove to Milan.
I drove back to Milan, and you were asleep, you fucker, in the back of the car the whole time, and I was driving, and it sucked. It was like 400 kilometers or something, like 450, like 240 miles, I think it was, according to my phone.
We got in the car within 3 minutes.
We got to the hotel at like 2 in the morning. We went to sleep. We had to get up at like 8 and then go back to the airport to do the 11-hour flight back home. To then freaking go through customs and then get in the car and drive 5 hours to Orlando.
Hold on. So we're checking into the hotel and I get my room and it's all good. And then Bert and Susie are checking in. They're like, oh, Mr. Cameron, we've upgraded you to the presidential suite. And you're like, oh, sweet. I have a suite for 4 hours.
Dude,
awesome.
They gave us they gave us an $800 a night room.
Yeah.
And like it was an incredible room. And we were there for like 5.5 hours.
Yeah. you didn't even see all the rooms it had.
No, I went in the room. So she's like, look at this, look at that. I'm like, babe, you're wasting your valuable sleep time. I was so tired that day, though. It's like, I was just done.
What did it have? 4 bathrooms?
It had like 2 or 3 bathrooms and like private rooms for this and like a private this and that. It was like ridiculous. Like all this like rock.
Yeah.
Shower, like it was retarded, but the problem is like normally I wouldn't be that tired, but it's not even just the fact that we traveled all this time and we didn't sleep hardly at all. It's the fact that the jet lag, like I feel like I never got used to like European time. It was like, okay, now I'm getting used to it. Oh no, it's time to go home, you know? It that part sucked. Like, we should have stayed another day.
And we were standing in the sun and probably not drinking enough water. So
that and you were red light. Like a tomato. You got sunburned heavily.
Man, yeah. I got destroyed quick. So,
but yeah, and so we we're back home.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we flew home. And explain something. How come every time I'm on a long flight, I get stuck next to someone who is about 1 year old? Or 2 years old.
And you always get stuck next to these kids, and they're like kicking and screaming. And
yeah,
like,
they're going nuts for 10 hours.
And you had a lady next to you that was breastfeeding.
Yeah, that was something. I took a nap, and I woke up, looked over, and hello. Which was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I always get stuck next to the kids that go nuts. And then, you know, I'm 6 feet, about 6'4", probably close to 300 pounds. And I just really don't fit in those seats at all by any means.
And this particular airline, I don't want to even mention it, but God, Jesus Christ. Like, man. No way. Not doing it again.
Oh, my
Not
God.
Doing it again, boy.
The seat was designed for, like, an infant. Yeah. They shoved me into it.
If I was uncomfortable, you should have been, like, really uncomfortable.
I was out of my mind.
But so, I guess that wraps up the Italian trip. Italian trip. So, but last week, before we left, we recorded an episode with a special guest.
We did.
And I feel like it was unfair to our special guest not to release this episode this week.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I kind of felt compelled to share information about our trip, didn't you?
Yeah, like, well, it makes more sense to share it now.
Yeah, that's what I was like. If we would have waited 1 week, like another week, then it would have been kind of lost in memory a little bit, right?
We'd forget something or.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
so,
make sense or something.
It was still fresh in our mind. So it was like, it made sense to share that now. So we have a very special guest for next week.
Very good friend of ours.
Yep. So stay tuned. This guy's awesome. Yep. He's won a lot of competitions. He's done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's not associated with BK.
Not at all.
In any way.
Not even a little bit.
Doesn't even fly anything we fly. So for all of you that think that, oh, this is all about BK and BK servos and SAB, no, not necessarily. Of course, that's what we do. So we're going to talk about it. We have no choice, right?
Well, it's our livelihood.
Yeah, it's our livelihood and it's what we do every day. So, every like, of day. Course, it's going to come out all the time. But this is not about being brand biased or trying to sell on anything. This is about just us shooting the shit, like we've said before, and like helping people out. So next week we have a special guest. Again, he has nothing to do with us in terms of, you know, our sponsorships or what we fly or what we do for a living.
Right.
Totally separate. Like, if anything, he's a competitor, right?
In theory.
Like, in theory, yes.
Yeah.
So we have that. And then maybe the week after we should do like a...
We should do live.
Like a live. Yeah. Live. We should do a live.
Yeah. So get your questions ready. Start thinking about them. Give us some doozies. Nothing is off limits.
Yeah.
We'll answer them to the best of our ability. We're going to go live on the BK official Facebook page. If you go into search and just type in BK, it'll bring up our page. We'll go live on there.
Like facebook.com/the BK official. I think that's what it is.
The BK official. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Has our BK logo. So we'll go live on there. You can throw any question you have. We'll answer it. We'll talk some more trash. And
when should we do that? 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks.
So we'll do our guest next week, and then the following week we'll do a live Q&A.
Yep. So this will be on... This episode will be posted on 31st. The special guest will be on June 7th, and then live will be June 14th.
Yeah. Perfect. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So what do you got going on for the next week, Kyle?
For the next week... trying to get some helis back together. I have some 700s that I got a wrench on. Have a little bit of testing to do. So,
well, girl time.
A little bit of that. Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
Work.
Work, no way.
Yeah.
Vacation?
No need. Vacation in June sometime. Yes.
Yeah.
I need it bad. Need to get away for 5 days.
Yeah.
No emails, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no helicopters, no nothing.
Nothing.
Just like out to the beach or something.
Yep. Just disappear for a little while. Take the motorcycle.
It's 5 days. That's all I need. 5 days.
Ride in the rain.
Recharge my batteries and be ready to go. So
be back to working 18-hour days.
I heard that Torches had a celebration for Memorial Day weekend.
They did.
And they were rude.
Oh?
Yeah, we were gone, and they did it right. Perfect timing, right, as we were gone. They could have done it this weekend, last weekend. 2 weekends from now, 3 weekends ago? No, they did it exactly the day we were going to Italy.
You know, it's funny you mentioned
that. Isn't that rude, though?
Shout out to our boy, Bobby Watts, president of Torches, my quote-unquote boy. Just kidding. The last two cookouts, the last two celebrations, I have missed them both for being out of the country at events. So I'm starting to feel like it's a trend.
Yeah, it is a trend. But kudos to Bobby Watts because he helped us tremendously with this freaking recording thing here on
he knows what he's doing. He's
a little humble studio. Yeah,
Bobby's a good guy. If you guys want to hear from Bobby, maybe we'll bring him on sometime. Bring him over.
Yeah, we should bring Bobby. Yeah. Watts Innovations.
Yeah. Have a couple beverages and just talk some more trash.
Yeah, I feel like Bobby should be here. He should an episode. Yeah,
he can talk on the gold microphone.
But we got the two next week, the following 2 weeks committed. We have special guests, and then we have Q&A, and then maybe we can bring Mr. Watts. And I have another guest. I don't want to disclose yet. I was texting with him yesterday.
Really?
Yep. He lives in the South. That's all I have to say.
Okay. He's this one figured out.
He's well known. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice guy. Fun. Yeah. Nice guy.
It'd be cool.
By American.
By American.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening. This was great. It was a great trip. I appreciate you guys' support. Yeah. Kyle, you can be reached at where?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Kyle Stacy RC. And you? Nice. Bert RC. Kyle Stacy RC / No, I'm just kidding. Facebook.com/BertRC.
Yeah.
I think I'm Bert_Kammerer. Kammerer. On the gram, Instagram.
The gram.
And that's it, right? Yeah. Or, you know, bkhobbies.com or whatever, like sabusa.com or business websites, bkservoswitchrotorblades.com, yada, yada, yada.
There's many ways to get a hold of us.
Yeah. So
you can track us down, give us some questions, but save them up because we're going live in 2 weeks and we'd love to answer them on there.
Sweet.
Nice.
All right, guys. Well, thank you and see you or talk to you next week.
Thank you, boys and girls.